In the name of the Father, Son, and Holy Spirit. Amen. In the passage we just read, a Pharisee named Nicodemus comes to Jesus in the dark of the night. He says, "We," meaning my fellow Pharisees and I, "have seen what you're doing, and we know that you must be from God." Jesus replies saying, "It's true. No one can see God's kingdom unless they're born from above." Nicodemus then tries to imagine a second birth literally, which is not a good idea. And he stays confused or in the dark for the rest of their talk. Since Nicodemus had more biblical and theological training than most people, it's no wonder that so many have struggled with what Jesus said to him since. Why is it such a hard passage to understand? Well, for one, because the way Jesus explains it is just so Jesus-y. It's in symbols and metaphor and mystery. The difficulty is also partly because of how the author of John writes. Like all authors, he has certain points that he is trying to get across. And as with any piece of scripture, inspired by God and executed by humans, we're always deciphering what's consistent with who we understand God and Jesus to be. But I believe a big part of why we struggle with this passage is because it's about a gift. Many of us have a hard time receiving gifts. We may not know what expression to make when we open the gift. We grapple with what's the appropriate show of appreciation. And then there's the problem of what to do when you don't have a gift to give in return. Hold on to something that can be re-gifted? In some ways, a passage like this, on something that has to be received, is harder for us than those passages that tell us what to do. When Jesus tells us to shelter the homeless, feed the hungry, and follow certain commands, it's challenging, yes, but at least we have a clear and measurable goal. When it comes to this gift, though, it's not about what we do, but about what God has done for us. We see this in the metaphor of birth that Jesus uses. With physical birth, the one being born doesn't set things in motion or do the work of labor. To the one being born, life is simply given. And yet when Jesus tells Nicodemus that in order to see God, he must be born from above, Nicodemus's first thought is that it's something that he has to figure out and make happen. It seems that what Jesus is actually saying, though, is that in order to see God, it's God who has to give birth to you and give you that new life which God has. When read in this way, his talk of being born from above makes sense as a response to Nicodemus's initial statement. Nicodemus and his friends can see God in Jesus because God has made this possible for them and for us all. So what exactly is the gift? The gift that Jesus is telling Nicodemus about is the gift of everlasting life with God. A life that we are meant to experience not only when we die, but in this life too. And yet, some of us have thought that this gift is too good to be true. So we've created preconditions or things that we think we must do in order to get the gift. It could be our belief, an idea that is present in this passage. It could be our good works or our good behavior. But if there are conditions that have to be met, then it's not really a gift. Others of us have struggled with the idea that the gift could be for everyone. Perhaps because we like to know who's in and who's out. Perhaps it's because the gift wouldn't seem as special if it were for everyone. But if God loves the whole world unconditionally, and if the vision of the new heaven and new earth is one where the world eventually comes together in worship, then we must be open to the idea that the gift is meant for everyone. And it may come not only through the language of Christianity, but in other forms as well. Some of us have struggled in other, less obvious ways. We have received the gift, and we are so excited about it. We've brought it home and showed it to our neighbors, but we've never opened it up, or we've never explored its many facets to see what a great gift it is. How sad to receive a gift and be so grateful, but never open it up and use it as the giver intended. Part of Jesus' role in coming to earth was to show us what it looks like to enjoy the gift in this life and when we die. Today, we can ask ourselves if we need to work on receiving God's gift, believing it's for everyone, opening the gift, or exploring its many facets. Even if we struggle, the good news is that we don't have to totally understand the gift to enjoy it. Jesus says as much when he refers to the wind that can be heard, but not seen or pinned down. We don't have to understand it, but Jesus does encourage us to trust it. In Jesus' time and when this text was written, belief didn't mean something that one mentally assents to or affirms intellectually. Belief meant something that one gives one's heart to and one trusts. Trusting and giving our hearts to this gift of life from God helps us to enjoy it more fully and experience the abundance of life that God wants for us. This is something I imagine that Nicodemus caught on to, because by the end of John's gospel, he's with Jesus when most had deserted him, anointing his body for burial, moving from darkness into light. In a few moments, we are going to have a baptism. Baptism is a sacrament, which is an outward sign of an inward and spiritual grace. It represents the birth of water and the Spirit and the new life that is given to us by God. Where once baptism was seen as a precondition for one's salvation, now we see it as a celebration of the life that God has already given to Stephen, to Bryson, and to us all. As a community, this is one of the ways that we receive, give thanks for, and celebrate the gift. When we say that we will support them in their life of faith, we are committing to helping them open the gift and experience life with God for themselves. God has given birth to God's life in us. Receive it, share it, give thanks for it, and enjoy it forever. Amen.